Welcome to the Mexican Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finance and public debt results for the first quarter of 2005. At this time, all participants have been placed on a listen-only mode, and the floor will be open for questions following the presentation. It is now my pleasure to turn the floor over to your host for today's call, Alonzo Garcia-Tamez, the Undersecretary of Finance, Alejandro Werner, the head of the Economic Planning Unit, and Geraldo Rodriguez, head of Public Credit Union. Mr. Garcia-Tamez, you may begin.
Thank you very much. Good morning to everyone, and welcome to Mexico's Ministry of Finance conference call on the public finances and public debt report for the first quarter of 2005. We will begin by making some comments about the most recent macroeconomic developments. After that, I will discuss the main elements of the public finance report for the first quarter of 2005. And then I will go over the latest developments regarding public debt policy. Finally, we will open the floor for questions, where I will be joined by Alejandro Werner, the head of the Macroeconomic Policy Unit, and by Gerardo Rodriguez, the head of the Public Credit Unit, to answer these questions. Let me start with the main macroeconomic developments. The economic expansion continued through the first quarter of 2005, contributing to a significant increase in employment opportunities. Industrial production and services were the most dynamic sectors of the economy during this period. The monthly GDP proxy, which is the IGAE index, grew 3.7% in the January-February period. This result points to a real annual GDP growth of around 3% during the first quarter. This figure does not fully reflect the economy's vigor, since this quarter had a total of 5 work days less than the same period of the previous year. This is because of the Easter week following this year on the first quarter instead of what happened last year, which was on the second quarter. During the first quarter of 2005, the number of formal employees insured at the Social Security Institute grew by more than 100,000 workers. This represents an annual growth of 2.4%. The increases in production and unemployment pushed private sector spending. In January, fixed capital formation grew 10.2% with respect to the same period of 2004. And in the first 2 months of 2005, retail sales grew by 5.1%, while wholesale sales grew by 6.2%. During the first quarter of this year, total exports grew by 8.6% in annual terms. Oil exports grew by 28.5%, while extracting, agricultural, and manufacturing sector exports had an annual growth rates of 64.2%, 9%, and 5.6% respectively. On the other hand, total imports grew at 11.6% in annual terms. It's worth noticing that capital and intermediate good imports expanded at 17.7% and 8.4% in annual terms, respectively. The positive expectations and the stable financial conditions allowed a continuous and significant expansion of credit to families and businesses. As a result, direct banking credit to the private sector grew above 30% in annual terms in March. Direct bank consumer credit and mortgages grew at 44.2% and 34.5% in March, respectively. Credit to businesses also showed an important growth of 22.4% in March. Summing up, the expansion of the Mexican economy in the first quarter is consistent with the 3.8% growth forecast for 2005 established by the Ministry of Finance. Let me move now to the public finances, to the main public finances figures. During the first quarter, the fiscal balance accumulated a surplus of 26.4 billion pesos, and the accumulated primary surplus up to March amounted to 81.4 billion pesos. Budgetary revenues reached almost 472 billion pesos, which is 1.9% higher in real terms than those obtained in the same quarter of 2004. These revenues exceeded 4.4 billion pesos, which was the amount targeted in the budget for 2005, due mainly to the following reasons. First, 10.2 billion pesos from public entities under direct budgetary control other than Pemex. Second, 831 million pesos from oil revenues, which were partially compensated by the third element, which were non-oil tax and non-tax federal government revenues, which resulted below the program by 2.6 and 4.1 billion pesos respectively. Oil revenues grew 4.2% in real terms, mainly because of the increase in international oil prices. Non-oil tax revenues grew 1.1% in real annual terms. Value-added tax revenues grew by 7.5% with respect to the same period of 2004. Income tax collection diminished 2.4% in real terms. This is explained by the increase in revenue that took place in March of 2004 as a result of the extraordinary payment by the government of 5 billion pesos, which was a consequence of the Supreme Court ruling that income tax exemptions to government employees were unconstitutional. Additional tax compensations and refunds increased 41% in real terms with respect to the first quarter of 2004. If we adjust the 2004 revenues to make them comparable with those of 2005, we get a real growth of 2.5%. The public sector's total budgetary expenditure was 439.6 billion pesos, 6.7% larger in real terms than the previous year. In terms of public expenditure, the following items stand out. First, physical budgetary investment and investment fostered by the public sector increased 37.5% and 10.8% in real annual terms with respect to the same period of 2004, respectively. During the first 3 months of this year, personal services and expenditures decreased 0.5% with respect to the same period of the previous year. The financial costs of the public sector diminished 5.1% in real terms with respect to the first quarter of last year. This was mainly due to a decrease of interest costs, commissions, and public debt expenditures. Let me move now to describe the main public debt results. In the first quarter of 2005, as has been the case since the beginning of this administration, the debt strategy was aimed at financing the public sector needs at the lowest possible cost, subject to a prudent level of risk over a medium and long-term perspective. In this context, the federal government continued to work in achieving a better balance between internal and external debt and in increasing the duration of the public debt portfolio in order to reduce the vulnerability of public finances to shocks in internal and external financial variables. The results of this strategy have contributed to the stability in the Mexican economy and the sound development of the local financial markets, and have triggered recent upgrades in the ratings of Mexico's sovereign debt by the main international rating agencies. On January 6, Moody's upgraded the main external debt ratings of Mexico from Baa2 to Baa1. In this way, the ratings of the external debt were harmonized with those of the internal debt, reflecting the reduction in the relative importance of external debt in our total debt portfolio and our solid external liquidity position, and, as a consequence, the reduced sensitivity of public finances to external shocks. On January 31st, S&P upgraded the rating of the long-term external debt from BBB- to BBB, and the ratings of the short and long-term internal debt from A- and A2 to A and A1, respectively. The revision resulted from the improvement in macroeconomic stability due to the proactive management of public debt, the accumulation of international assets, and the increase in the deepness of the domestic financial markets. At the end of the first quarter of 2005, Mexico's net public sector debt totaled 24.2% of GDP, which is 1 percentage point higher than the figure registered at the end of 2004. This result is attributable to transitory movements in both internal and external debt. Total net internal debt to GDP increased 0.5 percentage points with respect to the end of 2004. And it is important to mention that the fiscal deficit of the federal government will be financed entirely in the internal markets, like in the four previous fiscal years. Total net external debt to GDP increased 0.5 percentage points as well, with respect to the one that was observed at the end of 2004, reflecting the pre-funding of 2006 amortizations and the transitory impact of Pidiregas debt accounting. Let me move to describe further details in the domestic debt policy. At the end of the first quarter, the net domestic debt of the federal government totaled ₱1,031.7 billion, a figure which is 1.7 billion pesos higher than that registered at the end of 2004. This result was attributable mainly to net borrowings of 27.5 billion pesos, an increase in the domestic financial assets of the federal government of 26.8 billion pesos, and finally, upward accounting adjustments of 1 billion pesos associated with inflation index debt. At the end of the first quarter, the relative participation of nominal fixed rate government bonds with tenors greater than 1 year in total domestic debt increased to 47.5% from 44.7% at the end of 2004. Similarly, the average maturity of government securities increased 40 days to reach 1,111 days at the end of the first quarter of the year. This increase is slightly smaller than the one recorded during the first 3 months of the previous year. In fact, it is 7 days smaller. This is in accordance with the objective of reducing the pace of increase in the average maturity of domestic debt stated in the economic policy guidelines for 2005. Now, moving to the details of the external debt policy, I would like to mention the following. First, at the end of the first quarter, total net external debt amounted to 78.6 billion, which is $0.6 billion higher than the figure registered at the end of 2004. The result was due to a net increase in indebtedness of $1 billion, a decline in the federal government external financial assets for $0.6 billion, and downward adjusting adjustments for another $1 billion. I would like to stress that this increase in the external debt is transitory. External indebtedness will gradually decline in the upcoming months as the borrowings are used to cover the debt amortizations that are due this year. Among the external debt operations that took place in the first quarter of 2005, as part of the overall debt management strategy of the federal government, it is important to mention the reopening of the 2015 U.S. dollar global bond by an amount of $1 billion. The financial conditions of this operation were very favorable, with a spread of 145 basis points over U.S. Treasury, the lowest spread obtained ever by the federal government in 10-year bonds. With this operation, the bond reached a more liquid outstanding amount of $2 billion. I will leave my comments now here, and we can proceed to the question and answers section. Thank you very much.
Thank you. The floor is now open for questions. If you have a question, please press star 1 on your touchtone phone at this time. If at any point your question is answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing the pound key. Questions will be taken in the order they are received, and we do ask that while you pose your question that you pick up your handset to provide optimum sound quality. Once again, if you do have a question, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time. Once again, if there are any questions, you may press star followed by 1 on your telephone at this time. Our first question comes from David Trager with UBS.
Oh, yes. Good morning. My question is regarding President Fox's recent announcement of the creation of the Instituto de Protección Social. If you could give me any more details on this institute and how it will display into the budget scenario for Mexico.
We really don't. We are really not sure what are you referring to. We are here in the desk looking at each other. We don't know exactly what are you referring to.
This, well, there was an article on El Universal yesterday, I believe. No, Domingo, Sunday, and it referred to. In fact, I'll read you the first paragraph. El presidente Vicente Fox Quesada anunció que propondrá la creación del Instituto de Protección Social que garantizará seguridad social y protección en salud, ahorro, pensiones y vivienda a una buena parte de la población mexicana. And the article goes on to talk about this, you know, this program. I was just wondering in terms of costs for this program, if you have any figures that you could provide me.
We don't have any figures. We think the article is referring to is basically this idea of putting many existing programs under one umbrella, you know, and in order to better harmonize this program, avoid duplications and have better control on the impact of these different programs. What we could do, as the discussion progresses, is to provide you with more details on the impact this could have on public finances. But for the moment, there is none.
Okay. Okay. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Alonso Severa with CSFB.
Thank you. Good morning. Can you tell me what are the factors that explain the shortfall in non-tax revenues in the first quarter relative to the budget assumptions? Thanks.
Yes, I'll pass it to Alejandro.
Yes, Alonso. Basically, the program has, the annual income generated by non-tax revenues has been distributed on a quarterly manner, and some income from some privatizations that we were expecting to have in the first quarter of the year did not materialize. Also, some derechos charged by some entities have been below the program, but we expect that this thing is going to be compensated in the second quarter, in the second half of the year. So in with an yearly perspective, we will be in line with the program. And basically, it's just a timing effect what we are seeing in this first quarter.
Thank you.
Our next question comes from Salvador Moreno with ING Bank.
Yes, hello, good morning. It's a very simple question. Just if you can give us an update on how advanced is the refinancing of the pending amortizations scheduled for 2006 in the capital markets. Thank you.
Okay, I'll ask Gerardo to take that question.
Yeah, as you know, Salvador, we started with the pre-funding of 2006 at the end of last year with the euro issuance that we executed in November. We continued the refinancing program with the reopening of the 2015 global dollar bond. That translates into having already pre-funding almost $1.5 billion of the maturities for 2006. What we expect is for the remainder of the year to complete fully the pre-funding of next year, so that we cover the almost $3 billion that we have maturing in 2006. Thank you.
Thank you.
Once again, if there are any additional questions, please press star 1 on your telephone at this time. Our next question comes from Christian Strachey with CreditSights.
Yes, please. Good morning.
looking at the data on the historic balance of the financial of the requirements of the public sector, sorry, the rough translation from the Spanish, but it looks like there was a pretty significant jump last quarter in the liabilities of the PDRegas, and also in those of the EPAB. Do we expect that to continue over the course of this year, and do you expect to see the saldo histórico de requerimientos financieros continue to climb, as a percentage of GDP?
I think it yes. Thanks for the question. It is the explanation is mainly because of two things. One is the pre-funding that was instrumented by Pemex during the first quarter of the year, and the second, which was for a large amount, like $4 billion in the first quarter. Now this is going to be, let's say, diluted as the year goes by, and the situation regularizes. So this big jump is going to be seen in the first quarter, but as we move, we won't see the large increases we are seeing at this time of the year. The other part of the explanation is the evolution that we see normally on the first quarter of the year in the GDP, which we see a seasonal decline, no, and therefore figures compared to the GDP, debt figures compared to the GDP normally show a big jump. No, this should also regularize as the year goes by.
And that was probably exacerbated by the fact that there were fewer working days last quarter than last year.
That is right.
Right.
Once again, if there are any final questions, please press *1 on your telephone at this time. Okay, gentlemen, it appears we have no further questions.
Okay, then thanks very much for your attention, and we'll have another conference next quarter. Thank you very much.
Thank you. This does conclude this morning's teleconference. Please disconnect your lines at this time and have a great day.